time I preach, we have a new lapel mic to use. Thank you, Brother Todd. Appreciate that good singing, especially that blonde-headed one. For those of you who don't know, that's my wife. I can say that. Amen. I don't want to spend time telling jokes or saying something funny to get loose this morning. I don't want to get your mind off the cross this morning. I want you to be focused on that. I had them sing that last song just so we'd have that on our minds, the cross of Jesus Christ. John chapter number 20. I want you to catch two places this morning. John chapter number 20 and Zechariah chapter number 13. Zechariah is the second to the last book of the Old Testament. We're ahead of schedule for normal Happy Valley Sunday morning service. It's not even 11:45 yet. So, Brother Freddie Young, your assistant pastor, told me not to hold back. So I'm not going to. I'm not gonna preach too long, just 2.5 hours or so, maybe. And no, I'm kidding. But I ain't gonna preach till I'm done. But it won't be long. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Most of y'all know that. You've heard me preach before, and I'm not a long-winded preacher. But this morning I want to deal with something that I believe will be a blessing to you in John chapter number 20. Some sacred verses right here. We're going to start reading in verse number 19. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Jesus Christ has already died and are resurrected from the grave. He's already appeared to Mary. And in verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And that would kind of scare me too if the door was shut and someone just appeared like Superman. Don't jump on the disciples too bad. That would scare the living daylights out of you too. Verse 20, he says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side." Wonder why he done that. What's special about his hands and his side? They had scars in them. Said he showed them his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Hey, what he showed them made them happy. They were scared and upset and worried and discouraged. But when they saw the scars in the body of Jesus Christ, it made them happy. Verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Skip down to verse number 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, he done it again, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray you'll please bless this congregation. Thank you for all that came. Lord, I pray you'll please bless them. It was raining. They didn't have to come this morning. Lord, they knew Brother Eddie wasn't going to be here. They didn't have to come. And God, I pray you'll bless them this morning. Lord, I pray you'll put your hand on me. Lord, you know I need it. Lord, you know more than I do how bad I need it, God. And I pray you'll please bless this service, bless this message. Lord, bless the reading of your book. Lord, I pray if there's one here lost this morning, God, that you'll please convict them of sin and show them what they need and show them you are what they need and they can have it before they leave. God, I pray for all the other ministries going on. I pray for the children's church and everyone teaching and preaching this morning. God, I pray you'll please, Lord, make a difference in eternity today. And Lord, please bless this service. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, you know that, and he showed up, and the first order of business when he got back with his disciples was showing him the scars. That was the first thing he did. When he got there, he started showing the scars. He showed him the nail print in his hands, in his feet, and his side. That was the first thing he did. Why is that? If he already died and rose again, what do the scars even mean? Well, number one, let me say by way of introduction, these scars are evidence of suffering. You understand, things that leave scars hurt. Things that feel good don't leave scars. A massage does not leave a scar. This is a really bad massage. They don't leave a scar. Car wrecks leave a scar. A fist fight can leave a scar. A knife wound can leave a scar. A gunshot wound can leave a scar. Surgery can leave a scar. Things that are painful leave a scar. Calvary was not an enjoyable thing. Calvary was not a beautiful thing. It was an ugly, painful, very gruesome event in the life of Jesus Christ. It was a painful thing. The little pictures they show of Jesus with a little soft skin and no blood and no scars, that's a bunch of hogwash. Yeah. Jesus Christ died a very bloody, painful death. Yeah. Something you never think about. If he had those thorns pierced through all his face, I bet he had scars around his head too. Scars are evidence of suffering. I've got scars on my body from that car wreck when I was 16. I've got a wound or a scar on my back about the size of my fist, the ugliest thing you ever saw. And it hurt like the devil for a long time. And as it was slowly healing, it was right there on my back. And as it was slowly healing, my good, loving friends in high school would always walk by and slap me on the back. And it would start to bleed through my shirt. It took forever to heal. But scars are evidence of suffering. And not only that, they're also embarrassing and shameful. People go to great lengths to get rid of a scar. I remember after that wreck, I had a bunch of skin that had ripped off my face from going through the windshield, I guess. And I had to put some stuff on there to make that stuff heal up and go away. And it did. But people go through great lengths to get rid of a scar. They got all kind of special ointments you can buy and oils you can buy to get rid of a scar. And why do they do that? Because they're ugly and embarrassing. People will dress a certain way just to cover up a scar on their leg or on their arm. They'll go through great lengths to cover up a scar because they're embarrassing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2 said that Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. You've got to know these scars were embarrassing, but thank God he didn't try to cover them up. When he showed back up, the first thing he did, friend, was he showed them off and showed his disciples the scars. They're evidence of suffering, embarrassing and shameful. Not only that, scars are emotional and spiritual. Some scars are visible and some scars ain't. And you got to know, friend, Jesus Christ had more than just physical scars. You say, why would you say that? What he went through wasn't just physical. It was a spiritual warfare that Jesus Christ fought and won. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ was forsaken. You understand he died by himself up on that cross. You understand in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, all his friends forsook him and fled. His father had forsaken him. His friends had forsaken him. Hey, the scriptures have recorded that his whole family was there. We learn from John chapter number 7 that his brothers and sisters and cousins didn't even believe he was who he said he was. He was forsaken. That can leave some deep emotional scars on your body and on your soul and on your spirit. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14, I believe, says, a wounded spirit who can bear? Jesus Christ had more than just physical scars, what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Jesus Christ had emotional scars and emotional damage. Emotional and spiritual battles are hard and heavy. A lot of times they're worse than the physical scars. A physical scar is easier to deal with than an emotional scar. Jesus had all those. He had all of them. But I want to ask a question. I want you to turn, if you're still over in Zechariah 13, I want you to flip over there real quick. And I want to ask a question that might seem disrespectful and blasphemous, but hang on with me, stay tuned. Don't cut me off and think I'm just an arrogant punk. I'm going somewhere with it. Zechariah 13, verse number 6, it says, and one shall say unto him, now this is talking about the second advent of Jesus Christ, he's coming back. Verse number 6 says, and one shall say unto him, that's Jesus, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You understand, from John chapter 20 until right now, the scars are still there. You've probably heard us a billion times, what's the only man-made thing in heaven? The scars in Jesus, in his body. But here's what I want to ask you this morning, and this might sound disrespectful, but it's not, I promise. Jesus Christ was God, correct? All power. All power. Jesus Christ had all power. God has all the power of the universe. Any power that anybody has comes from God. Any power that Satan has, God gave it to him. Any power that you may have, God gave it to us. Jesus Christ had all power. So why in the world, when he died and rose again, if he had power enough to get up from the grave, why couldn't he get up with a body without holes in it? Why did he have to rise with a body that still had nail prints and still had a spear hole in his side? Did he run out of power? Did he run out of juice to heal him old self? All the people in the New Testament. He said, thy faith made thee whole. He said that to the woman with the issue of blood in Matthew chapter 9. He also said it to blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. He said it to Jairus' daughter in Luke 8. And he said, oh, thy faith made thee whole. The woman at the well, Luke 17, he said, thy faith made thee whole. And in Acts chapter 9, Peter says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. He had all this power and made everybody whole, but when he rose from his own grave or from the borrowed grave, he still had holes.
Amen.
Why? Why could not Jesus, why could not the darling Son of God, why did he have to go back to heaven with scars and marred? You understand the cherubs that fly around are looking at a wounded, marred up Jesus? Why? Why could not Jesus have a perfect body? I'll tell you why I think. He rose from the grave with scars and a marred up body. When I was a little boy, my dad used to travel around more than he does now. With the church growing and getting bigger and the family growing and things like that, he slowed down some. But he used to travel a lot, and he didn't always fly everywhere. He flies now because it's free, but he used to drive, but yeah, he owes me big time. Yeah, he owes me. Anyway, when he did fly, we still get him. And back then, this wasn't a big deal. You could do this. Now you can't. But we used to, Ashley, if you remember, and Katie, you'll remember, we used to go all the way to the gate where he was, where he's coming out, and we pick him up right there. We meet him right there at the gate. And I remember it was so cool because every time we'd go, he'd always still have his suit on. He'd have his glasses on and his briefcase, you know, the big square box things. You know, they're not cool anymore. Don't tote them. But back in the 90s, it was cool. You could do that. And he'd always walk off, and he'd always look so sharp and so professional, like he was some kind of businessman or CEO or something. And he'd come off that plane, and the first thing he did, he either did it right there in the car, he'd give us our souvenirs. He'd open up that briefcase, he'd crack it open, and he'd have us something for all the kids. He'd bring us something back. You remember that, Ashley? He'd always bring us a little something. And every time he'd leave, we'd say, Daddy, bring us something back. Bring us a souvenir. Friend, let me tell you this morning, those scars that Jesus Christ brought back to glory were nothing more than a souvenir from Calvary. They're a souvenir from Calvary. And listen, what do souvenirs do? Souvenirs are a way to remember.
Yeah.
And Webster's, in 1828, Webster says that a souvenir is a remembrancer.
Yeah.
A remembrancer. Jesus Christ brought back those scars. They're souvenirs. Let me ask you another question. Does Jesus have a bad memory?
Come on, brother.
Does Jesus Christ have problems forgetting what he's already done?
Come on.
So I don't think Jesus Christ needed a souvenir to remind himself where he'd been. I don't think he needed that. I think he brought these scars back for you and I. I think he brought the scars back for his disciples and for Thomas. I think he brought those scars back to show us, not himself.
Amen.
Number one, let me say, these scars that he brought back, they show, number one, they show he was there. And friend, this is his proof. His scars show he was there. This is his proof. Now, you say, what does it prove? Number one, let me say, it proves the place. Last week, Friday, my dad flew back in town. He was in Missouri, in Joplin, Missouri, at a children's home. And last year was his first year going there. And he flew into Springfield, Missouri. And if you know much about being a man and a hunter and a fisherman, you know that there's something very important to us men in Springfield, Missouri. Somebody tell me what it is. Bass Pro Shop, the biggest one that exists, is in Springfield, Missouri. Well, my dad was there last year, and he brought me back a souvenir. He brought me back a T-shirt. It says Bass Pro Shop, Springfield, Missouri. I wear it. It's nice. I like it. Now listen, let me tell you something. He brought back a T-shirt that proved where he was. It said Springfield, Missouri. He didn't get that at the Bass Pro Shop in Atlanta. He didn't get it at the Bass Pro Shop in Charlotte. He got it at the Bass Pro Shop in Springfield, Missouri. Now let me tell you what my point is. I've never been to Springfield, Missouri. Never seen the Bass Pro Shop in Springfield, Missouri. I've just read about it. I've seen pictures of it. I've read about it online. But I've never been to Springfield, Missouri. But my father has, and he brought back the T-shirt that I get to wear. He brought back the souvenir that proves the place where he went, and then he gave it to me so that I could identify myself with Springfield, Missouri, even though I've never been there. And friend, let me tell you something this morning. I've never been to Jerusalem. I've never set foot on that grassy knoll. I've never seen Calvary. But my father has been there, and he brought back a souvenir that proves the place. The scars prove the place. I've never been there, but I get to identify myself with the place because my father has, and he brought back a souvenir. They prove the place. They prove the place. Hey, listen, those scars were unique to Calvary. You didn't get nail prints in your hands and your feet shearing sheep. You didn't get nail prints like that hoeing corn. You didn't get nail prints like that breaking in a mule. Those were specific to a place. He died at Calvary. And he died there for a reason. Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. You understand he had to do this because of our sin? They proved the place. They proved the pain. This was already talking about how Calvary was a suffering thing. It proved the payment. Isaiah 53, verse number 10, it says that God shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When he died and brought back the scars, he could show the Father, hey, I've paid it. And it's paid in full. The scars, they prove he was there, and that's his proof. Number two, his scars show that he was thinking of us. And friend, this is his passion. He was thinking of us. How many of you go on vacation and bring your kids back a souvenir? Or bring somebody, a friend, back a souvenir? And why do you do that? Because while you're gone, you miss them, right? How many of you don't buy a souvenir the first day you're on vacation? Because you don't miss nobody yet. But after a few days, you start to miss the kids and miss mama and miss daddy and miss so-and-so and miss whoever else. And then you start getting little souvenirs to bring back and show whoever you got that souvenir for that you missed them. Listen, let me tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ had been missing mankind since the Garden of Eden. He had been missing mankind since the serpent beguiled Eve and Adam bit the fruit. Since that time forward, he was missing that relationship. He was missing that atonement that would last forever. He was missing eternal security for his creation. He missed that. Amen. How many of you have ever got a souvenir from somebody and it cost a bunch of money? Have you ever had that happen to you? Someone go on vacation for a long time, a week or two, and come back and give you an expensive souvenir? What's your response? Oh, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have done that. And then you kind of feel bad for how much money they spent. You kind of feel bad because you know that that souvenir cost a bunch of money. And I don't deserve a souvenir like that. I haven't done anything for them. We're just friends. That's just my mom. I haven't done anything to deserve a big souvenir like this. But she went and she brought back this souvenir. And you say, oh, you shouldn't have. And let me tell you one thing. You wouldn't dare reject the souvenir. You wouldn't dare say, no, take it back. You wouldn't dare say, ship it back to Hawaii. I don't want it. That's too much money. Hey, listen, friend. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for a souvenir for you. Are you going to reject the souvenir this morning or not? Are you going to tell Jesus Christ, no, you don't want it? Are you going to tell Jesus Christ, I don't have no need for it? Are you going to tell Jesus Christ and God the Father that you don't need the souvenir? He brought it back because he misses you and he wants you. He wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you in this room tonight. And I don't know you. I don't know the situation of your soul. But Jesus Christ does. And he knew it back then on Calvary. He was thinking about you when he brought back those scars. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to have the souvenir. My dad... He loves to spoil us kids, and I don't know why, but he does, and I'm not complaining. I've got a really nice TV because my parents like to spoil us. And you know, he buys things not because he thinks I want them, but because he wants me to have it. He buys things for us because he wants us to have it. I've got a truck in my garage that my dad bought me when I was a kid because he wanted me to have it, because he knew how much I was going to enjoy it. He knew how much joy I was going to get from that old truck. He knew how much fun I was going to have in that old truck. So he made sure he did whatever he could to get that and put it in my possession. Jesus Christ knows how much you're going to enjoy eternal security. He knows how much you're going to enjoy having your sins washed away. He knows how much you're going to enjoy it. And he wants you to have it this morning. Friend, he wants you to have that peace. He knows how much you're going to enjoy it.
Yes.
I had no idea how much I was going to enjoy that old truck. I had no idea that a truck could make a young kid so happy and how much fun you can have in it. My dad did. See, he already been down that road. He already had an old truck. He already knew how much fun it was going to have, so he made sure he wanted his son to have one. And Jesus Christ knows how much you can get out of being saved, and he wants you to have it this morning. He knows something about eternal life, Brother Spartan, and he wants us all to have it. He wants us all to be there. He wants you to be there. Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
Are you going to be there?
Amen.
I don't know you. I don't know your soul. Jesus does.
Amen.
Are you going to be there?
Amen.
These scars show he was there. That's his proof. to show he was thinking of us. That's his passion. You know what? Ashley, I don't know if you remember this or not. A long time ago, we lived in Dallas in the old house, Meemaw's old house. And Ashley was going through her preacher's kid trials. You know, all her class was being real ugly and mean to her, picking on her. And, of course, she thought it was the end of the world. You know, Dad was out of town. He was gone, and she was all upset. And Dad got back. He brought her back a little souvenir. It was these two little bears that said, "You're my very best friend." And he brought that souvenir back just to show his little girl that he still loved her. And that everything was going to be okay. And sometimes, listen, I know everyone in here probably already saved. A lot of you are. But sometimes it's really good just to look and remember what Jesus Christ has done. And to remember how much He loves us. Even though you've been saved for 20 years. Even though you've already been down the road. You've already been preaching in the ministry for years. You've already got kids. Your kids may be saved. But it sure is nice to look back at something and remember how much Jesus loves you. And to remember how good He is. And remember how He paid the sacrifice for us. Why? I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking at that. Some people, you know, say you shouldn't shout in church, you shouldn't cry in church, you shouldn't get emotional. Hey, friend, I can't help it. I can't help but get emotional when I look at something that reminds me what Jesus Christ done for my soul. I can't help but get emotional. Sometimes it's good just to remember. And that's why you bring souvenirs back so everyone can see where you've been. You bring them back so you won't forget how much fun you had. Sometimes it's good just to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. These scars show He was there. That's His proof. They show He was thinking of us. That's His passion. I've only got one more point. I'll be done in just a minute, I promise. These scars also show, this is my favorite one. I like this part. These scars also show that He was triumphant. And that's His power. Listen, if you've got a scar, that means you lived through something to tell about it. I've got scars on my body from a wreck that I lived through. And Jesus Christ, if He's got scars and He's showing them off, that means He lived. That means He lives. That means He's alive. Jesus Christ didn't just die at Calvary. He got up 3 days later. He's alive. He was triumphant. That's His power. His power. He's got power to, He said in the book of John, He said, if I lay my life down, I have power to take it again. He's alive. He's alive. When Mary and Him got to the tomb, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He was alive. He's still alive. Pneumatic sings a song. Since I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw His bones. I traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. But then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left Him lay. The precious Lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in the grave. No longer in the grave. He ain't been there for 2,000 years. Old Brother Willard Thomas wrote a poem a long time ago called He Wouldn't Stay Dead. I want to read it to you. So they laid His body in Joseph's tomb and filled His disciples with sorrow and gloom. They did not remember what He had said, that He would die, but He wouldn't stay dead. Mary came at the break of day and found the stone was rolled away. She saw an angel and in terror fled and told His disciples that He didn't stay dead. In that cold, dark tomb, He would not stay. He conquered death and walked away. And now that old grave has lost its dread. He lives again. He wouldn't stay dead. Full atonement and pardon were made, and forever the sin debt was fully paid. The price was His blood as it flowed crimson red, and I'm thankful today that He didn't stay dead. Let's go to our churches and cry aloud. Let's go to the marketplace and talk to the crowd. Let's go to the mission fields that lie up ahead and tell the whole world that He didn't stay dead. Hey friend, listen to me this morning. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. He's alive so that you and I can be saved. He's alive so that you and I can rejoice. He's alive so you and I can have peace. He's alive this morning. Why sing? Why preach? Why do all this? Why believe in Jesus Christ and not the others? Why believe in the Bible and not the others? Because He is alive. That's why we can believe. That's why we can preach. That's why we can have peace that passeth all understanding. That's why I don't have to go to hell, because He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive today so that you, friend, can be saved. Jesus Christ got up 3 days later just so you could be saved. I don't know the situation of your soul. I don't know. But that song that I was quoting a minute ago, the chorus says, if you knew him like I knew him. I don't know you and you don't know me. But listen, let me tell you something. If you knew Jesus like I know Jesus, if you know the Savior like I knew the Savior, if you knew God like I know God, hey, your life would be a whole lot better, friend. Let me tell you something. I don't know. We got visitors here this morning. I don't know if you're saved or lost, but Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ got up 3 days later just for you. This wasn't just a show. This wasn't just a gimmick. This wasn't just a trick. This was something that was going to impact eternity. How's your eternity looking this morning? Brother Todd, you can come to the piano and play for a minute. Hey, listen to me, friend. I don't know what the situation is with your soul. And if you don't either, you might want to get that checked out this morning. Jesus Christ, these scars were for a reason. He wanted to show you that He loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know you've heard John 3:16 since you were a kid. I know it's probably lost its fire to you and lost its sharpness. But for God so loved you, for God so loved you, He suffered. Everything that He went through, He suffered just for you and I. These scars, these souvenirs from Calvary, He brought them back to show you He loves you. He brought them back to show you that He lives. And He brought them back to show you that He's Lord over death, hell, and the grave. And He's available to you this morning. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to give an invitation. Listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that can change this morning. Your eternity can be forever changed right now. I want to give everybody privacy this morning. If you bow your head and close your eyes, I want looking around. Listen, if you're not 100% sure about your soul, just raise your head and look at me real quick. Just raise your head and look up at me. God bless you, son. God bless you, sir. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you never trusted in the blood of the risen Lamb of God, lift up your head, just look at me. I'm not going to come to you or embarrass you or call you out or point at you or nothing. I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray that God will help you this morning. Maybe some of you, a lot of you probably already are saved and you've just drifted away from Calvary and it's not a big deal to you anymore. That's probably all of us in here. Calvary don't stir our hearts like it should. Don't break our hearts like it should. Calvary messages ain't just for lost people. They're a blessing to save people too that have backslid from God. Brother William Collins, I want to ask you to grab your Bible, brother, and come stand down here. Listen, sir, there's a man right here with a Bible that wants to show you how you can be saved. He wants to show you how you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb and go to heaven when you die and miss out on an eternity in hell. Let's all go ahead and stand. Let's all stand. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Friend, listen to me. It can all be changed today. It can all be changed today. Eternity, don't tell God. Don't reject the souvenir. Don't tell God no. Don't tell Him no. Y'all go ahead and get a verse or something. Don't tell Jesus Christ you don't want His souvenir. Y'all go ahead and sing. These altars are open. These altars have been open since church started this morning. They're open. If you need to come pray, you come pray.